This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers, to another wonderful episode here where we talk about all things Disney. I am your host, Chris Eliopoulos. With me today, as always, is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Doctor.
Welcome, Doctor. Welcome to you, Dr. Chris. How are you today?
I'm a proctologist. All my patients are, never mind.
Well, we're doing a rare daytime recording. This is kind of fun. Yeah. And we want to welcome aboard some new subscribers, and they are Rocio Hernandez Vega and old friend Russ Stringer. So welcome to our show. We're happy to have you here.
Welcome back. Also with us is our good friend, Mike Scopa. Hi, Mike.
And speaking of welcome, may I say welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the comedy and thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
The what's the electric parade? What was the electric light parade thing? What was that called?
Was it called?
It froze for me, so I didn't hear. I didn't hear the end. I heard Splenda, but that's all I heard. Can you say it one more time?
The electrical parade. What's it called?
Welcome to the Splenda, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the comedy and thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
The Main Street Electrical Parade?
No.
Ooh, you were playing me.
Interesting. I don't know. This feels like something we should know.
Well, what if I said on this magic night? That wouldn't help.
No, I just was laughing at your eye. It's like you're trying to tell
what
us
if I said, eyes. What if I said, and there are people out there who are yelling right now at
this. Yes, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. They're saying, Chris and Michelle are so lame. What's wrong with them?
Especially when Mike says shimmering, shimmering, glimmering.
Okay, go ahead. Just tell us before we make ourselves magic. I
say. All right.
Jiminy Cricket, who...
See, this is why the show works. It's because Michelle and I know are like pretend Disney fans, and Mike, you are like the Uber Disney fan. So
Uber,
we are
the Lyft Disney.
Yeah, right. The Lyft. You're the minivan of.
Not a mini fan, that's for sure. So, well, I am a mini fan, but you know, mini fan.
Yeah, the character, not the little.
Right.
He's a character.
So today's episode, we're going to sort of talk a little bit about a bunch of different little things. But Mike, I wanted to see if you would kind of give us some updates as to the doings going on at Disney World. I know you said you had a few that you wanted to discuss.
Well, I've been noticing that things are slowing down in Disney World. There's not that much to be reporting every week. And it's kind of telling me that things are slowing down and guests aren't going, but other things are happening. There are about three things that I think have happened since our last show that might be worth talking about. One thing is that I think the biggest news is that the Tangerine Cafe in Epcot's World Showcase has closed. And the reason why it's closed is that they're not getting enough people to visit the cafe. And it's weird because that means that there aren't that many people going to Epcot. And digging a little further, I'm finding out that most of the guests who are now brave enough to go to Orlando or go to Walt Disney World are going to the Magic Kingdom. Are they going to Disney's Hollywood Studios? In the Magic Kingdom, you have the classic rides. You've got the Crown Jewel. You've got the Cinderella Castle. You've got a whole bunch of things there. You don't have that legacy in Epcot. Epcot does have a legacy, but not like the Magic Kingdom. Now let's turn to the studios where you've got some new attractions. You've got Toy Story Land. A lot of people have not been there. They've got Galaxy's Edge. You've got Minnie and Mickey's Runaway Railway. You've got a whole bunch of things there. And you've got a whole bunch of things in the Magic Kingdom. you don't have that draw in Epcot. And so the decision was made to close the Tangerine Cafe. So I think that's big news, especially when you think about the Taste of Food and Wine is going on in Epcot, and that's not bringing people.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the numbers are, but my guess is that it's around 8,000 or 9,000. So we'll see. That, to me, was the biggest news of the week. There are a few other things. DVC had this special nighttime after hours event at Hollywood Studios. It was called DVC Moonlight Magic After Hours. They had a couple every month. They are canceling them. So maybe that means that there aren't that many DVC occupied rooms. Yeah. And I know this is in September. That was something that was interesting. And also, I would have thought that by now, maybe Blizzard Beach and Typhoon Lagoon would have opened, but they still remain closed. So the little things I'm hearing and seeing coming out of Florida makes me wonder what else is going on. So
interesting.
That's the only three that I think are worth talking about right now.
Did that any of these surprise you guys that they're doing this, that they're shutting, like that the numbers are starting to, I mean, I kind of figured from the beginning it was going to be, you know, the bloggers and all the people who do make their livings through the Disney parks. And I figured they'd run to the parks, but I don't know if that many true guests would go. But I didn't think that they'd start shutting things down so quickly. Did you think so?
Well, Michelle, why don't you can go first.
You know, these times are so strange. I honestly can't say that I thought or I didn't think. I part of me expects everything to shut down all at once, you know, just to completely shut down. So I guess I would say it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me.
I kind of think that the powers that be down there saw this coming. And I'll tell you why. Why else would they do why would they make a special effort to bring a Taste of Food and Wine this early, unless they had a feeling that the guests would migrate, you know, go to I don't even know about the Animal Kingdom. They would go to the studios, they would go to the Magic Kingdom, but they wouldn't go to Epcot. You would think that Epcot would have been fine, but perhaps they thought they needed a draw. When you take away stage shows, when you take away, there aren't any parades, you take away things like
fireworks,
which is Epcot Forever right now, and a few other things, maybe that has a bigger impact than we thought. And maybe perhaps they were worried about this, and now we know. So I don't know what this means. I don't know if they have set a cap of, let's say, 9,500 people or 10,000 people. And that, from what I've heard from an inside person in Disney who works there, says they know exactly what they need for people. And so far, so good. However, if they're not reaching that capacity that cap that they've put, let's say they have said, we need to bring in 9,500 people per day in Epcot, maybe that's not working. Here's the other thing that I think could be a key here, and that is that when we talked about the new reservation system and how they allow people to come in, you can't park hop anymore. And from what I used to think, most people would start off their morning Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Disney's Hollywood Studios, come the afternoon, they sort of go. I always used to think that people would go to Epcot for their nighttime.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
I always thought the best time for Epcot is at nighttime. I love the music that plays when the lights go down and
they get ready for dinner walk around and have drinks. But if you're just going for dinner or having drinks, would you waste a park day?
Yeah.
A whole park day.
And the other thing about this, and we all know this, and Michelle, when we were there in March, boy, did we saw this big time. It takes forever to leave Magic Kingdom and get to your car and get back to your resort. It just takes forever, unless you're on the monorail. If you're at the studios, if you're at the Animal Kingdom, if you're at Epcot, it's not that big of a deal. But Magic Kingdom is a big deal leaving at night. And so That could be why so many people, we always used to think of Epcot as having so many more guests at night than any other park. And I think it's true. It's not just capacity. It's just that there are more fun things to do at Epcot at night than anywhere else.
Yeah. It's definitely the place I like to go to at night. But yeah, and again, like Michelle said, it's like wasting your one day. Like, there's other, you know, people want to go to see Star Wars Land. They want to go, you know, the Magic Kingdom to experience that. I think with fewer people, and again, we can't forget that the numbers have skyrocketed in Florida, which is probably scaring a lot of people off from going there.
So,
but you wonder if, you know, now it's in Florida, schools are going back to school. Is that going to impact the numbers? Because the numbers are higher in the summer, right? So that might further impact what's going on.
Yeah.
What could also happen is that they may make a revision to the reservation system and say there are a limited number of slots that will allow you, our guest, to park hop from whatever park you're in the morning to Epcot only. And that can only happen from the 12 o'clock on or from 3 o'clock on. However, there are a limited number of slots, and that would be something that would have to be predetermined before that day. That could be something that's going, that's being discussed in some boardroom somewhere, because if Epcot really has this problem, then they need to figure out what to do about it.
Are we seeing anything with Animal Kingdom? Because I would think that'd be another park where,
you know, Animal Kingdom. It's like it's fallen off the face of the earth. I have not heard anything about Animal Kingdom. I know that there are certain attractions that are not open. I don't think Kali River Rapids is open. I don't know. It's been like
I have seen people saying that they've walked on or done little wait times for the Pandora rides. You know, like 10-minute wait or something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, so which kind of leads me into the whole thing. So we, I'm trying to see what, how many days ago? I think it was just yesterday or, yeah, so yesterday we saw an article in Rolling Stone. Its title is What It's Like to Work at Disney World During a Pandemic by E.J. Dixon. It was a very interesting insight into the goings-on for cast members at Disney, and we had a episode a few weeks ago about cast members and their safety. This article specifically talks to a woman named Kinsey Doerr. She's a ride operator at Space Mountain. And she's also the shop steward of Unite Here, Local 362 in Orlando, one of the unions for Disney World. And it was a very, I thought, fair and interesting article. I would recommend everybody look up the article and take a read. It was fair. She seems like she's like us. She's a Disney fan, and but you know, she loved the Disney magic, but I think she's a little weary. There were two quotes that hit me, and I'll let you guys jump in. One was, she said, "We make $13.50 an hour right now, and it's just not worth that small sum of money to put your life in danger every day for guests that don't care." And the other one was, "I don't think that it's ethical to be at Disney World right now." Michelle, my God, these are people who love Disney as much as we do, and she sounds like she's a little scared, but also needs to work, you know?
Yeah, I was very, so you sent me this article yesterday, and it's pretty in-depth, and I was very struck by the woman's sincerity. I, just as you said, I got the impression that this person really loves Disney, really wants to work, really wants to be there. Just like all of us, I think all of us, we thought that this was only going to be 2 weeks or a month, and they were getting paid, and then all the ride operators were called back, and she was one of them who was called back. And one of the things I liked about the article, because it really gave me an idea of what her day is like in terms of what she needs to do to make sure that she's safe, what Disney's doing, how the managers are checking their temperature. They have to check before they leave for the day and things like that. But then some other considerations, things that she worries about, you know, people walking around with food, which, you know, Disney has kind of stopped that from happening, but, you know, saying, hey, I'm drinking so I can walk around without my mask, or refusing to put on their mask or not wearing it properly, and sort of an overview of what is her job? Is her job, you know, running Space Mountain, loading people on safely, or now she has to kind of police them, and you know, at what point does she need to stop? And then the overarching thing is, you know, she doesn't feel safe. She doesn't feel safe being there, but she feels like she has to be there because it's her livelihood. So I thought it was really, really very much from the heart, and I really appreciated the person taking their time to talk about it. It gave me a lot to think about, a lot of things I had thought about already, but I really was just sort of picturing the whole day and the stress that this must cause folks.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, Mike, I was thinking, she mentioned that the cast members aren't required to be tested at all. She indicated that some people have tested positive, but nobody at Disney informed the other cast members. It sort of got through by word of mouth, which is a little bit scary. So I worry that there's stuff going on that we don't know about.
Contact tracing. I mean, it would seem like, you know, it was an opportunity to kind of follow the road to see where they were and who they were with and things like that.
What are your thoughts, Mike? Did this article worry you?
A couple of things. Let me just first touch upon what you and Michelle just said. I think that Disney's being a very poor corporate citizen, or whatever you want to call a poor ethical person, because they're not mentioning anything if a cast member has been tested positive. And they're not even telling the cast members. They just, the article seemed to say that, and that kind of bothers me. I know that if I was going to go back to work, I'd like to know if my fellow employees have been tested positive. I need to know, because I'm going home every night. I'm going home to my family. So that bothered me. There was another paragraph that really triggered a thought, something that I thought about, that a friend of mine who was a cast member a long time ago told me about. She talks about, and it was either you or Michelle that mentioned that she was talking about how she gets $13.50 an hour. And she said that when she was called back, she had all kinds of questions, like how many people are going to be allowed in the park? How on earth do the Disney management level people think they're going to manage to keep guests 6 feet apart from one another at all times? And then she said, how are they going to make sure guests are wearing their masks? And then she said something very, very much that triggered this thought on me. She said, we can't even tell people not to jump the line half the time. Yeah. So I don't know how Disney would expect us to tell people they need to keep their masks on. Now, let me tell you why she said that. I had a friend who, he drove the Main Street vehicles. He was all over the place. He did Splash Mountain. He did he did all kinds of stuff. He was the epitome of a cast member. He would, if he was on his off day, he would go to another park, and even when he's not on the clock, he was helping people. He was also an engineer on the trains. One time he was working on the trains, and you know how when you get on that train, the Walt Disney World Railroad, there is a cast member on the very last car, and right. That cast member will, you know, say, we're all, you know, last.
The conductor, yeah, all right. Clear. Yeah.
So that cast member is there for the guests, to make sure that they ride that attraction very safely. Now, keep in mind that this person who I'm talking about was a cast member for 15, 20 years, almost a perfect record, always had commendations. People would say great things about him. On one particular day, the train pulled into the Main Street Railroad Station, and there were several guests who were going down the up ramp, and he was asking those guests, sorry, no, you can't go that way. You need to go this way. One of the guests complained about him to the guest services, and he was reprimanded big time. You know, so what she's saying in this article carries a lot of weight. It's like, how can you expect me to tell you, keep 6 feet apart, keep your mask on, when you're afraid that you're going to lose your job because of that? So for $13.50, is it worth it?
Well, right. I mean, and the problem is that they need that money because, you know, they don't have any choice at this point. Disney came back, they pulled them off of furlough, and if they can either quit or, you know, get fired or whatever, but, you know, they don't make any money. They have no other choices. They need to pay their bills. They're not going to get unemployment unless they get fired.
My niece works at Costco, and I know my son was working for a convenience store here in town too, and both of them were getting their base pay plus COVID pay. So they were getting a few more dollars an hour. So is that not something that happens at Disney?
I guess. I mean, it doesn't say in the article, but the way she made it sound was that was it. $13.50 was their hourly rate for at least her.
But you've heard of that before too, Chris?
I've heard other, like, so my son's friends, three of them work in a liquor store of all places. And the same thing, they said they get their regular pay plus they get COVID pay. It'd be interesting to find out. I wish the article had found out about that, if they were doing anything like that. Like, it's like hazard pay, you know, it's sort of like combat
pay. It's not very much, but it's a little more.
You know, but what's interesting too, Mike, was beside her talking about the Disney company and sort of being disappointed that they wanted to open up and bring people back, she was just as equally disappointed in the public for wanting to go back. She had said, I'm reading some of the article where she said, we see a lot of elderly guests, a lot of guests bringing newborn babies to the park, or people riding around on ECVs because they're older and it's hard to look at them and think, well, they're probably putting their own lives at risk at this point as well as mine. It's just difficult to look at every single guest and think what made them come to this park today when Florida had 200 deaths a few days ago. Right? So Mike, you know, are you feeling the same? Like, I know we've all kind of said we have no thought about going down there, but is she right to kind of look at guests and say, what are you doing?
Well, you know, she also talked about, Chris, that she has not heard about any guests being kicked out.
Testing positive, right?
Right. So guests are told, she says, guests are told before they come in that if they're not wearing a mask the entire time, they'll be asked to leave. She says, I don't know if that's actually happened.
Right.
I haven't heard of any stories of guests actually getting kicked out. I don't know if it's actually being enforced. I couldn't say. And she says, guests get their way a lot at Disney. That's all I can say. So to your point, we don't know where these people are, and the word that keeps popping up in the back of my mind is asymptomatic.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, she says that too. I will say though, on the other hand, I did send this article to a cast member friend who hasn't been called back yet. And she said her reports from her friends are that that they felt like Disney was doing a good job. So I just wanted to balance that off to say that this person obviously doesn't represent everybody's opinion, because there are cast members who feel very comfortable. But I think it was a very compelling and you know, detailed article about her concern.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there was a couple of little things, like, you know, she did mention, well, it's interesting that we have to come back to work, but all of corporate Disney is still staying home. You know, which is sort of like says, well, it's, you know, you guys can go and possibly get sick, but we're going to stay home. And then she also called out the state government for not stepping in, because I guess if the governor had said, we need to shut this down, like you said, you know, Michelle, like I always think, you know, and even as Mike was saying earlier, like being, you know, a good corporate citizen, you know, like, does Disney have an obligation, or do they not have an obligation to say, you know what, we, for the betterment and setting a good example, we should shut down? Do you think that's a thing they should be doing?
You know, I guess you could see it from many points of view. They may say they are, what, the largest employer in Florida, definitely in Central Florida. Maybe they feel like they have an obligation to contribute to the local economy and bring, because, you know, there's so many cottage industries around Disney. Maybe they're feeling like that's their responsibility. I think it comes down to profit. I really do.
Yeah.
I agree with her, and I'm glad that she called out the governor, because I agree that it needs to come from the top. And if the governor said it, they would shut down, and they wouldn't have any issues with shutting down.
Well, like we heard that in Disneyland, right? So the governor in California said, nope, we're not opening up. But so Disneyland remains closed. She even said, so finally, Mike, before we keep going, finally, she did say that probably the best case scenario is we're not going to see the feeling of safety there until after the new year, after there's a vaccine. We don't have to wear masks and stuff like that. From what you're reading, do you feel like they're going to stay open through the new year, or is there going to be a shutdown at some point?
That's the million-dollar question, Chris. A lot can happen in 6 months. I think that as we get further and further into August and September, we will be hearing announcements. Specifically, I don't expect that the candlelight processional will be happening. I don't expect that Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party will be happening. I think that the marathon weekend in January is going to be canceled. And the reason why I say that is that I don't see this stopping right now. We have been watching over the last 2 months. People are just not, I saw yesterday a report, only 55% of people in the United States are wearing masks, washing their hands, sanitizing, doing all kinds of stuff, keeping distance. So if that continues, then I don't see anything happening over the next 6 months. And the other thing that is just around the corner, and it's true, you've got children going back to school in some states, you've got colleges bringing their students back. To me, that those are going to be semi-super spreaders, and that could make things stay at the level that they are. So I don't see things improving, Chris. I see a strong possibility of maybe closing, but I would not be surprised if we see this cap of 9,000 to 10,000 on the parks between now and the end of the year, and possibly through the spring. It all boils down to how people behave, and if this vaccine comes out, and if people are going to be saying, yes, I will be vaccinated. That's another story.
So. Yeah, that's the next step along the way, right, Michelle? We're the you and I are tend to be the, I'm sure Mike too, the worry about the people who are anti-vaxxers.
Yeah,
it's a big worry, but I think it's going to be a long haul. Definitely think it's going to be a long haul. I did have a question. I know you're trying to wrap up, Chris, but Mike, you and I were talking about how you just mentioned how Not So Scary was canceled and the Halloween Horror Nights at Universal canceled. I just wonder, is there any discussion between Universal and Disney and SeaWorld? And, is it Disney just does their own thing and you all have to follow us or not follow us? Or I just wonder, is there a conversation about, if we're going to shut down, let's all shut down? Or is it going to be Disney shuts down and Universal says, not us, we're confident in our measures. I don't know what's going on with Disney, but we're going to keep you safe.
Yeah, I think Universal doesn't care about really what Disney thinks, but I think Disney cares about what Universal thinks. And I did hear from an inside source that the reason why the Walt Disney World parks opened up in July 19th, and they were planning to open up later, was because Universal opened up earlier, and they did not like the fact that Universal got the jump on them. So I think for some strange reason, Disney worries about Universal, but Universal doesn't really care about Disney.
I think they wanted to put everything in place and do it right. That was my take on it.
Yeah, and maybe
it's a much bigger operation.
And I think Disney is known to, and a lot of smart companies do this. They look to see what their competition within the industry is doing, and they let them make the mistakes, and then they say, okay, rather than try to be first, let's be second and be better. And I think that's what happened. But I agree with you, Michelle. I think that they should get together and talk about things and share. I mean, there's enough money. Well, there was enough money to go around that both Universal Studios and Walt Disney World, the Disney company,
But here's the thing that gets me upset about that. Shouldn't it be the leadership from the government that is helping these people make these decisions versus these companies, you know, informing the government? It should be the government who is helping to support them and
show some guidance, right? I mean,
yeah.
Companies, they're, I mean, as much as we love Disney, they are a company that's, and their sole goal, whatever they say, is making money. And so they're going to do whatever it takes to make money. Yes, they're obviously there. They feel an obligation to be safe because that if they aren't, then it messes with their bottom line.
And it should be data driven. I mean, we live right on the border of Massachusetts. I work in Massachusetts. So we listen to the, you know, what's going on in Mass and New Hampshire, where the numbers are very low, but it's New Hampshire, Massachusetts has just ramped back. You know, they've stepped back. And it's all because of the numbers and the data. And the companies don't have to make that bad decision to say, oh, you know, we're a bar. So, you know, it's our decision. It's like, that's what's happening with the state. So, you know, let's all comply and then we can have the life we want again. So I like that, at least in Mass, in New Hampshire, that it's the decisions are being made for the companies by the data. And it's not the companies saying, you know, we're going to do the best we can.
I have one more point, Michelle, to tag along what you said about it should come from the top. Kinsey, in her article, says the following. She says, I blame Governor DeSantis for the fact that the parks are open right now. I think that even if Disney CEOs begged him to reopen and he said no, we would not be able to be open. And yet he thinks that this pandemic is a joke. And he has from the beginning, and he hasn't taken anything seriously. And I think he's risking a lot of lives by allowing us to be open. And I think that feeling, that opinion is echoed by a lot of our friends down there. We know that. But, you know, things are what they are.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you look to your leaders for guidance, for safety, and you look for your Disneys for the fun and the entertainment, and not to have to... I mean, I feel bad that, you know, Disney has to make those hard choices. It shouldn't be up to them to make, you know, life or death decisions for people.
Right.
And I feel bad. Like they should have been warned off and told we're not going to open for the safety of so many people. Because there are people like who don't obey.
Yeah, it's like they shouldn't have to be the bad guy, but they shouldn't also have to be the leader for the whole state.
Yeah.
That's not fair either.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
But people, I mean, I saw one last point again. I saw a report. It was either yesterday morning or this morning from a report out of Florida. It was some business owner who said, why shouldn't we be allowed to open? Disney World was allowed to open.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so if Disney World jumped off, like my mother would say, if Disney World jumped off the Empire State Building, would you jump off?
But yes, Mom.
It's true. It's true. Disney is a leader. And, you know.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, they're not there to protect people. They're there to make money. And so you shouldn't give them the ability to make life and death decisions for people. But anyway, so Michelle and I were just chatting right before the show. We wanted to get in real quick on a lighter note. I'm a big Muppets fan, Jim Henson fan. We did a book, I Am Jim Henson. I got to draw every Muppet in creation. So the Muppets are a big influence in my career. And the Muppets have a new show, Michelle.
The Muppets Now. What would you call the format? It's sort of a mishmash of little, like, comedy vignettes or something?
Vignettes.
The way I took it is, so the Muppet Show, or the original Muppet Show, was sort of a parody of variety shows. And I think this one is a parody of internet culture. Right.
Yeah. So it's okay. Because they're sort of downloading little clips from the internet. Yeah.
Right.
There was the interview with RuPaul.
Yes.
They interviewed RuPaul. Cool. That was hysterical. So Kermit is interviewing RuPaul, and different people are coming in and interrupting different characters. And The interaction with Miss Piggy just had me doubled over laughing. It was so
what was funny. The other guy's name? Ted or something like that? What was the...
Yeah, Ted. The
super
the,
fan?
It was a... Yeah, he was so... He was answering RuPaul's questions.
Yeah.
Like, how many sisters do you have?
What was funny about that is I found the newer characters that aren't the... I don't know if you'd call them the Fab Five, but the bigger name Muppets, I found, like, Miss Piggy's assistant in that segment was hysterical.
Yeah. Kind of a monster, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen him before. I was trying to figure out what type of animal that is.
I just think he's a creature monster
of
some sort, yeah.
He was a British accent, and he gives her attitude.
I will say, I think I found the ad-lib stuff, like, you know, the RuPaul stuff where it just was going, with no editing and no pre-scripted stuff, I thought that was some of the best.
It looked to me like RuPaul didn't know who was going to be coming in the room.
Right.
Like, he's like, oh, Miss Piggy, let's go to lunch.
Yeah. Right. It was very spontaneous and very, very fun. I enjoyed those the most. My least favorite was sort of the photobombing.
Yeah.
When it was a little characteristic of... of Kermit.
Yeah,
Michelle pointed that out. Yeah.
Right. But I thought it was a good first. Is the second episode out yet?
I got something. I signed up on Twitter, and I think they tagged me today that said something like the second episode is out.
Yeah. So I enjoyed the first episode so far, but
Mike, I saw a trailer.
I liked it.
There was a trailer with Beaker. There was a little vignette with Beaker. I can't wait to see that because that was making me laugh.
I know. Him and Professor Honeydew are like my favorites. I just get a kick out of them.
Me too. Mike, you liked it too though, right?
Yeah, I think that the dialogue, I'll tell you, it was almost as if everything was spontaneous. And it was done really well. I think that if it's too scripted, it's not going to be funny, but sometimes the ad-libbing, I think, is just priceless, and I think that the magic of the Muppets is always going to be with us.
Yeah, the performers are absolutely amazing on off the cuff, witty remarks. They catch the professional actors off. You know,
it's like when they used to work with kids on Sesame Street, and you never knew what a kid was going to say, but they always had a great comeback.
Yeah, it was always great. So like, I'm actually looking like. I was saying before, this is the first Muppets show, event, movie, whatever, in the last few years that actually felt pretty close to the original TV show. I mean, the only thing they really missed was, you know, musical numbers. But I think that's the staple of a variety show, whereas internet culture is more, you know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a brilliant move, and I really... really enjoyed it. I hope to see more, more, more. So.
Ooh! I want to say something else. I know we're running long, but I want to say something.
Okay.
All right. Something else that got me this week that really got under my skin. I pay for Hulu. I pay for Netflix. I pay for HBO, and now I pay for Disney Plus. I'm happy to do it. I don't want to pay an extra $30 to see Mulan. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I mean, I would rather that they hold off and show it in the theaters, but
how much are they charging?
$30.
But if you went to the movie theater, you'd pay like $10 or $11, right?
Yeah, I guess they're saying the whole family is going, but to me, it's a can of worms that, you know, it's not like, you know, this is a special event. I don't know. I think it's, so is it now that every new Pixar movie that comes out, we're going to have to pay? I don't like it. It really was, they either should have released it like they did Hamilton, or they should have just waited.
Right.
So, sorry. I remembered that I wanted to talk about that because.
Right.
I agree. So, I agree.
Yeah, no, it seems like a little bit of a slap in the face. I mean, I totally know they need to get their money back for this thing, but it seems like an odd choice. Like I said, nobody knows what to do at this point, right? I mean, that Trolls movie, they just released online. Like, you could, like, you know, if I wanted to buy, I would buy Mulan. I would buy, if I enjoyed the movie, I would buy it on iTunes or whatever the format. But, you know, anyway. But
it's a way to get more memberships, just like Hamilton was.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to get the money on the back.
Mulan's on there? Yeah, like, oh yeah, let's sign up. That's awesome.
I mean, even if you wanted to do a fun thing to do, like, so a lot of people are missing appointment television. You know, you, like, you watch it all at a certain time, show or a movie. Like, I think it would be fun if they sort of released it on Disney for whatever, $3, right? But then you have like an online event where every, you know, they'll tweet out through the movie, you know, facts or something like that to make us all engage. But for $30, it's like, well, I'll just buy the movie. You know, normally the iTunes downloads are like, what,
$16.99? Right, right.
So it's not making a lot of sense there.
Did not sit well with me. Did not sit well.
Yeah, but so on that note, we're going to – we have a little conversation about where we're going. So we've done this experiment for now – how many weeks? Maybe 2 months now? Somewhere in that neck of the woods?
Two or three, yep.
And we've been steadily growing, but we've been hearing a lot of people saying they miss the podcast. They miss being able to hear us in the car or on a run or when they're making their dinner in the kitchen. And this format has sort of pushed them off a little bit in that ability. So we're thinking, Michelle, that we might turn this back into a podcast. You think it's a good idea, or are we just being silly?
No, I think we talked about the way that we listen to things, and I know you and I and Mike too like to listen to podcasts a lot. And we could do podcasts. Now, have you heard about podcasts? We could do podcasts and release them on iTunes the way we did, and then every once in a while we'll come back and do video. Maybe some live shows would be fun.
Yeah, Mike.
I agree with everything that's been said. I think that, you know, when I feel like listening to a podcast, I want to listen to a podcast. I don't need to see these people who are talking. So I agree. I think that it's something that we wanted to be very receptive, and we wanted to respond to what our listeners wanted. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do whatever we can to meet their needs.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thought was, you know, we could add some video to this because it's kind of boring staring at people talking all the time. But, you know, I figured that it's really the content. I think we're going to go back. It's going to be probably in our Mickey Miles and More feed. I don't know yet. If you want, go to our Facebook page or on Twitter, and we'll start to make announcements when things are coming out. The format's going to be pretty much the same. We're going to basically, because the parks are closed, it's kind of hard to come up with a lot to talk about other than the negative stuff. So we're going to try to talk about things in a natural conversation like we have. And if you want to be a part of that conversation where you get to listen in without, you know, getting a say until afterward, we'd love to have you join us. I think it's a good move. We tried to go to YouTube because we thought it'd be a different millennial thing moving forward, but it just I think everybody really wants that format of the podcast. So plus maybe we'll get you out on the road running and you can listen to us. But so keep an eye out for that one. And one last thing, Michelle, your background. What do you got going on over there?
Yeah.
See, I think you have to lean one way or the other because I think what your head is blocked.
Imagine Mike sitting in that chair, and I guess that'll give you an idea. With the white hair.
Yeah, look up right over there.
Yeah, there's a balloon above my head that's an idea.
Well, that one we won't have to do on the podcast anymore, so we don't have to worry about the backgrounds. But
the quotes will remain.
So we hope you'll join us over there starting soon. We're going to get everything lined up and ready to go. So on behalf of Michelle Spillane and Mike Scopo, we'll see you back on the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.